Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are just blazing our way through this week, going through some really powerful sections of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul is giving practical instruction to the church in Corinth. And if you haven't been able to join us, I encourage you to go back and listen to the episodes from this week. And there's a couple themes that are really sticking out. First, we've been talking all summer and spring about fixing our eyes on the Lord, about coming back to our first love, about making him the center again. It's not Jesus plus, it's not Jesus and, it's just Jesus. And in Christ, we truly have everything. And so it's the practice of looking at him, of developing that inner life, of seeing him in his wounds, of letting him heal us, all of these different things. And we're seeing that play out in what we've been reading, because Paul is challenging us on where is your foundation. And whatever foundation you're building on, the way that you're building, your works will be tested. And so yesterday we had this kind of challenging passage about being purified by fire, and our works being burnt up, and a fire coming on the day of judgment and purifying us. And friends, these are hard words to hear, but they're good. And I want to remind you, as we even dive back into that today, that every single thing that is written in scripture is the heart of God. And we know that the heart of God is faithful, trustworthy, true, good, loving. That there is not a single word from God, there is not a single action from God that is not loving and is not for our good and for his glory. And so to come into this, and if there's anything that as you listened yesterday or as we listen today, as we continue to talk about being purified by fire, if there's anything that was brushing up against you that was like, this is harsh, this is hard, yada, 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 that's totally understandable, but to remember, God is good. And so purifying, there's a passage that said God disciplines those he loves. He corrects those he loves because he loves us. He doesn't just leave us there. He doesn't just be like, oh yeah, you're doing all these things that are bad for you. Go for it. He purifies us. And also we need to be concerned for God's glory. And so we want works that are purified, that are good, that have been tested by him so that they last. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue in that today. But again, just as we've been doing, and we'll wrap this up tomorrow, we're going to read that passage from Isaiah 6 to meditate on that. I saw the Lord, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the grace to see him, for your heart to be moved as we pray by Jesus' glory and power and majesty. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Jesus, we come to you again today reading this passage. And we never get sick of looking at you. We never get sick of beholding you. And so we pray, open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we may see you enthroned in glory. And as we see that in the eye of our heart, that we would long for it on the last day. Because as we long for that last day to come, Lord, give us not a spirit of fear and trepidation at the fire that will come, but a spirit of right fear of the Lord and of longing for the fire of God to purify us so we may spend eternity with you face to face. Give us a true, purified longing for you, rooted in the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. We ask all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, now I'm going to read 12 and I'm going to go down through 23 because we're going to spend the next 2 days in the context of these verses. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Again, there's that thing of only as through fire. And I want to go to something here because we talked about being purified. We talked about being purified here. And there's this reality that he's talking about being purified. And as our works make it through, he says, the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If the work which any man has built from the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. So ultimately, the reward is heaven, right? It's the beatific vision. It's being with God. The reward is Jesus himself. But scripture teaches, and our Catholic understanding is, there's this concept of merit and eternal rewards that are deeply tied to grace. So first, grace is the root, right? No one can merit the grace of forgiveness and the grace of salvation. It's a completely free gift of God. But here the catechism says this: moved by the Holy Spirit, believers can merit graces for themselves and others as an eternal reward for good works. However, as the saints emphasize, even our good works are entirely a result of the grace of God working within us. There's then the ultimate reward. The primary eternal reward is God himself. The primary eternal reward is God himself. There's this reality. I want to touch on that merit, because this is what we're getting at. There's eternal rewards that if our works survive by grace, there will be eternal rewards in heaven. There's a passage there that says in the catechism that says, you are glorified in the assembly of your holy ones, for in crowning their merits, you are crowning your own gifts. Catechism 2006 says this: the term merit refers in general to the recompense owed by a community or a society for the action of one of its members, experienced either as beneficial or harmful, deserving reward or punishment. Merit is relative to the virtue of justice in conformity with the principle of equality with which it governs. With regard to God, there is no strict right to any merit on the part of man. Between God and us, there is an immeasurable inequality, for we have received everything from him, our Creator. The merit of man before God in the Christian life arises from the fact that God has freely chosen to associate with man a work of his grace. So he goes on to talk about how we've been adopted, and the charity of Christ is the source of all merits. But we can actually have merit. We can actually have eternal rewards in heaven, leading ultimately to the beatific vision, which is the eternal reward. But we know and we see from the saints, even the tradition of the saints, that each one has a crown, and there will be rewards in our crown. There will be jewels in our crown. There's this beautiful story about a farmer who was praying, a humble farmer who gave all of these sacrifices in prayer for this woman that he had saw in the news that he didn't even know. And the woman was in a horrible accident. And when she was in the horrible accident, she actually died. And she had this vision of the afterlife in which she was going to go to hell. But God showed her in this vision different lights in the city where people were praying for her. And it said, these prayers have saved you. These prayers have given you another chance. And there was this one really big light, and it was the farmer. But she didn't know who it was. And she said to God, who is that? Show me who that is. And God said to her, I don't want to show you who it is, because I don't want to steal his reward from him. That sometimes from our works that we do, not by our own merit, but by the grace of God, he wants to reward us in heaven in a particular way. So we see that. That's what we're talking about. You'll receive a reward. Continuing on, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and that temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If any one of you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So let no one boast of men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. It's so beautiful. So there's a way that Paul moves. He says he's talking about the works which we do, and he's talking about this process of purification. And then he moves from there to say there's this process of purification. And then he says, do you not know that you are God's temple? That you are the temple of the living God. I want to get into this more tomorrow as we close out our time together. But the connection between that is the temple. Think about the temple in the Old Testament, or think about, you know, even like the materials that we use in our parishes or our altars. Like the temple of the Lord had all of these purification rites. There was a way that God couldn't just come. It wasn't just like, oh yeah, you can come anywhere. There was purification rites of the temple. The temple where God dwelled had to be purified. In Exodus, it says, you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and shall hallow it, and the vessels of it thereof shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and its vessels, sanctify the altar. In Leviticus, he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness. There's this cleansing of the temple, this refining of the temple, the refining of the tabernacle that says, set this place apart. And the way that God sets us apart is he purifies us. He anoints us, and he puts the oil on us, and then he sets us on fire. And the fire of the love of God, of the charity of God, burns deeply in our hearts. And when that charity is there, it burns away all of our imperfections. And we become a dwelling place for God. Simeon, one of the theologians, says he himself is fire. And he kindles fire in the hearts of those who receive him. St. Catherine, in her treatise on purgatory, says the fire of purgatory is the fire of God's love. St. John of the Cross, he compared our souls to a log in the fire. He wants to dwell. And in order to dwell in us, he does dwell in us. And in order to dwell in us, we need to be purified with this fire, because we are living temples. The Lord has anointed us. The Lord has called us. We're going to talk about that a little bit more tomorrow, about being living temples of the Holy Spirit. But this is why we need to be purified, friends. Not because God is mean, not because he's like, get it together, but because he wants to dwell. Just like the temple in Jerusalem, he dwells in you. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.